Ladies, gentlemen, future guests of the Split Screen Podcast, the official podcast of BlankPageBeatdown.com. My name is Shah Shahid. I am your host for today, and I'd like to present you with a unique opportunity. No, it's not like a pyramid scheme where you have to pay money and there's this whole scamming involved. Well, I mean, I guess you can pay me if you really want to pay me, but okay, it's not necessary. But this is basically me inviting you, yes, you, no, not you. No, you, over, no, behind, okay, just forget it, all of you. This is me inviting all of you to be a guest on this show to discuss your remake of choice. So it could be from anything. It could be a Bollywood remake, a Hollywood remake of any industry in the world. It could be a South Indian movie remake made into the Bollywood industry. It could be a comic book remake, or even one from a novel if you're really, really going to make me read a book. Fine. But any remake you want to discuss that you want to be on the show for, on this show, the Split Screen Podcast, then there's a chair here waiting with your name on it. Not literally, because you don't actually have to physically be here to do the show, you know, because technology. Okay, but basically, if you want to be a guest, come on the show, make your own podcasting debut, get in touch with me through email at shah, S-H-A-H, at blankpagebeatdown.com, or tweet me at the Shah Shahid on Twitter. So come on down and join me as we discuss a remake of your choice right here on the Split Screen Podcast. Until then, this is episode 11 featuring Kathy Gibson from accessbollywood.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast, where we compare movies to movies and so on and so forth. It's amazingness. But today we've got Kathy with us again from accessbollywood.com. Kathy, say hi.
Hi, thanks for having me back.
No problem. So today's not... The movies we're talking about today aren't as iconic as what we've covered so far. Not that Bang Bang was iconic. But they are good. They're really good movies. And to correct what we said on an earlier episode, we mentioned that I think we said Bang Bang, or I think Bang Bang was the first official remake of a Bollywood movie from a Hollywood movie. So we're going to retract that now. Well, I'm going to retract it now and correct ourselves. And actually, Stepmom... in 1998, directed by Chris Columbus, did have an official Indian remake from the same studios with Karan Johar, which was titled We Are Family in 2010, directed by Siddharth P. Malhotra, not the underwear Calvin Klein model who was in Student of the Year. I think it's a different guy because he has a P in it.
And there's also two D's in his name and only one in Siddharth the Model's.
Good eye, good eye. See, I try not to pay attention to him.
Right.
So much anyways, much less his name. Stepmom, basically. Kathy, do you want to give us a quick breakdown of what Stepmom was about?
So Stepmom is about the uneasy relationship between a mother of two kids, played by Susan Sarandon, and her ex-husband's new girlfriend, played by Julia Roberts. And it's about them trying to find some kind of working relationship where... you know, Susan has this inherent distrust of Julia Roberts' character because she's not only is she the younger, I guess, replacement or can seem that way in her life, but that she's, you know, she finds her irresponsible and all that. And all these, they have this kind of battle of wills over how to raise these kids and who should be responsible that really becomes a critical factor where they need to make some sort of resolution when Susan's character finds out that she is very ill. And so it's very much about the two women and what it is, what it means to raise children, what the right way of raising children is, and especially one of the two kids. One of them is a younger boy named Ben, who is like an elementary schooler, and the other one is a girl who's a sixth grader named Anna, and she is just starting to explore dating and all that. So what happens when you're raising these kids from two different female perspectives right at a critical time when this girl is just becoming a woman?
Right. And I mean, the movie's great. Let's not even quibble about that. It's very endearing. It's very, it's heartwarming. I mean, there were scenes. No lie, I got misty. I'm not even gonna joke. I mean, there's situations where, you know, and again, and the movie is also, when I watched the movie, I was expecting for something to happen. You know, whenever you have these dynamics of, you know, you always wait for like some sort of external thing to happen that kind of, you know, fucks up their lives, or, you know, something that to kind of mess up what's going on right now. But this movie wasn't really about that. It was just about these relationships, these people, in this situation. And, you know, everyone gets great moments. You know, all the characters get these great moments with every other relationship in the story. The son and the dad and the daughter, the two, you know, the real mom and the stepmom, excuse me. And it was just, it's a really nice story. It's a family movie. Chris Columbus, he's the guy who did Home Alone. He wrote The Goonies. So it's a great movie. How do you specifically feel about it? I mean, it's very female orientated. The stars are Julia Roberts and Susan Sarandon. Is there anything that you didn't like about the movie at all, Kathy?
I don't think so. I mean, I think it's a really good movie. I think the character development, like you said, is great. The dialogue is great. I mean, I remember the line, I'm going to get it wrong probably, but paraphrasing, from when the movie came out back in 98, the line where the little boy turns to his mom and says about the dad's new girlfriend, "Mommy, I'll hate her if you want me to," or something to that effect. Yeah. Where I'm like, oh, that is like a stab right in the heart.
So
you
nice.
Know,
yeah.
So there's a lot of really good stuff, and everybody has their moment to shine. I don't think there's much to dislike about it. I mean, it's a sad movie, and so it's not. But it doesn't feel like it's. That's not the point of it.
Like, it's not trying to be sad. Like,
yeah, it's not. It's not overly melancholy or anything like that.
You know, like, there was nothing that you take away that going, oh my God, that was fucking amazing. It's just this really quiet story. And again, just the relationship between the two female leads, I love.
And it's a movie, despite, like you said, not having any like big set pieces, where you really feel like it earns its 2-hour, 10-minute runtime. You
of
know?
Course.
It's a very good example. You know, for anybody interested in screenwriting, this is, I think, a pretty good example of how to write characters and how to write dialogue.
And also, and again, and maybe I was expecting for something to happen because I grew up on Bollywood movies. So when you watch a movie that essentially is a family drama, despite being contained in this world of just this family, in Bollywood movies, there's always that something has to happen. Either some evil entity orchestrates it, or there's an outside influence, or an external something that interrupts this dynamic. And then at one point, the story becomes about dealing with that. Whereas even in Stepmom, which when the movie first came out and I saw the trailers, I was kind of like, oh, I get it. You know, she's sick and she has to train some new, you know, hot young thing to become, you know, mom in her place, blah, 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 bullshit. But even that plot device halfway through, again, this isn't a spoiler for the movie at all. I don't think you can really spoil this movie because it's just more about how it happens instead of what happens. But in Stepmom, even when you find out that Susan Sarandon's character is terminally ill, the rest of the movie, while that has an impact on the characters, it's not what the story ends up becoming about.
Right. You get to see you really get the chance to establish who these characters are, who Susan Sarandon's character is, you know, how she deals with this. And that you see, it's not like all of a sudden there's this big change. You know, there are still scenes after she finds out that she's not going, you know, that she's dying, that where she still gets mad about certain things. She doesn't become this like sainted figure all of a sudden just because, you know, she realizes that I have a limited amount of time left. No, there's still like some fighting and all that because she's still who she is.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. So if you had to give this movie a rating out of 5, how would you feel?
I would go with a 4. I think it's really good, and I think it's good for a very broad audience.
I'm waiting for the day that we disagree, because I also give it a 4. I have no complaints. There's nothing that could have been done better. The characters were flawed. Despite the situation, all the characters were flawed. I love Ed Harris. And I think a 4 is pretty fair.
Yeah.
So let's move on to We Are Family, the official Bollywood version, which, again, synopsis-wise, it's basically the same story. There are things that happen a little differently, which we'll talk about a little later. And obviously, we are going to discuss what we don't like about We Are Family. So let's talk about what you did like about the Bollywood version.
Well, I think what I like about it, and to set it up, it's in this version, Kajol is the mother of the kids. For some reason, there are three kids in this version instead of two. Her ex-husband is played by Arjun Rampal, and then his new girlfriend is Kareena Kapoor. Did you have any thoughts as to why in the original movie, Julia Roberts is a fashion photographer and Ed Harris, the ex-husband, is a lawyer? In the new version, for some reason, Arjun is the fashion photographer and Kareena is a fashion designer. Like, was there any reason to change that? Am I missing something?
Besides the obviously sexist reasoning that, well, no, boys are photographers, girls, you stitch clothes and you sew things. Because, I mean, again, I'm not saying that's what the movie was trying to do, but it does, yeah, you're right. It didn't make any sense why they switched it.
And it also robs Kareena's character of there's a critical part, you know, where in Stepmom, where Julia Roberts' character gets to use her professional skills to take photos of the family. And then Kareena doesn't have anything to do. Nope. She's not particularly helpful at the end of this. Nope. But the major difference in... I guess we can get into sort of what makes this different, that instead of the focus being on the relationship between Kareena and Kajol, this is much more a movie about Kajol being sick than it is about the two of them and parenting and all that. And I can verify that by saying we first get the hint in Stepmom that Susan's character is ill. We see her in the hospital getting a test 40 minutes into the movie. We first see Kajol in the hospital, 25 minutes in. Kajol gets told by her doctor that her illness is terminal at the 53-minute mark, which is less than about halfway, maybe a little less. Susan's character doesn't find out that she's dying until an hour and 37 minutes into a 2-hour and 10-minute-long movie.
Yeah, well into the third act, you could even say.
Absolutely. Like, that's the start of the third act. It's not the halfway point. So this is much more about a festival of Kajol dying, basically, is what this movie is.
Festival of death. Love it.
I think I wrote in my original review of it that I described it as an orgy of grief.
Yes. And you know what? It's surprising that so many people, I've read some other reviews of it, a lot of people describe it as exactly, I mean, different words, synonyms. But yeah, essentially the same thing. There is some huge changes in the tone and attitude of how it unfolds. So before we do that, I just wanted to quickly get a feel for you. We Are Family on its own. How would you rate the movie out of 5?
I would give it... I'm so in between. Like, it's a...
What's
it's
the range,
a marginal...
Kathy?
It's What's a marginal don't watch. It's in between a 2 and a 3.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in between a 2 and a 3. I'm leaning more toward the 2 just because I don't think there's a need to see it. Watch Stepmom, you see everything. I don't think there's anything that We Are Family does better.
Not at all.
Having Kajol sing Jailhouse Rock is not enough for me to recommend.
Like, it wasn't enough for you to remake one thing. You had to just do something else on top of it. Like,
I know, and I wish that the subtitled version, there are no subtitles for her version of Jailhouse Rock.
It's probably the most laziest remake of anything, because literally the lyrics are, I don't know what I'm singing, I don't know what the words are, something, something, Jailhouse Rock.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Because I guess they want to make fun of the fact that, you know, she went up, it was like a karaoke scene, right? So she goes up and she's like, oh, I don't know what the words are. So they're playing on that. The song is supposed to be the original Jailhouse Rock, but she's doing karaoke, so she doesn't know the words. She's making up her own words. But still, it's a lazy... Like, if you were going to do that, just make an original song with those lyrics about, I don't know what to sing. Why do you have to do... I hate when they do that. It's just so tacky.
I'm sure there's tons of other plays on the idea of being in a jail. You know, I'm locked in this household with all these annoying kids and Kareena. What am I, you know? I don't know. There's You gotta do better than that.
Let's get into this. Just start tearing it apart. So from here on, we will be discussing specific plot details, plot points, including even the climax of the movies Stepmom and We Are Family. So be warned, if you haven't seen either movies, please skip to the end of the show to get our Twitter handles and other contact information. Biggest change, Kathy, what do you think the biggest change was from Stepmom to We Are Family?
I think that tone is it, because you just don't see a whole lot of interaction between the two women, when that's the whole point of Stepmom, or at least the overwhelming point.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't understand why. Why do you adapt a movie and not do the thing that was the premise of the original in the first place?
Well, and especially when you have two powerhouses in, you know, probably two of the most, you know, popular Indian actresses, why not use them? Why put them, you know, put them at loggerheads, make them, you know, make them duke it out? And it's really, everything is so, is compressed because of this illness, and by accelerating that, you know, the way that unfolds, where you don't find out, they're like, they don't share, what am I trying to say? There's, Stepmom begins with Julia Roberts waking up and, you know, just taking her time to get out of bed and then realizing, oh no, I've got to get these kids ready for school. So there's a pre-existing relationship between her character, Susan Sarandon's character, the kids. And that's not the case in Stepmom. So you get, because of Bollywood's insistence on showing us the beginning of relationships, it's Karina shows up because Arjun, being a complete dumbass, decides to introduce his new girlfriend to his family at his youngest daughter's birthday party. Which is, you know, horrendous. I can't think of a more disastrous way to go.
See, and that's the thing too. That's what right off the bat sets the tone for the movie. First of all, you know the movie's going to have conflict, given the actual premise of the movie itself. Throughout the film, in the beginning, you get a sense right away that these characters are not going to make it any easier. You know, in any like brown, white, Western, Indian, whatever culture. You know, the ex-wife and the girlfriend will maybe have friction. You want to make that as smooth as possible. You don't tell her about it over the phone during your daughter's birthday party. Have your ex hang up on you. Right away, you know something's fucking wrong. And you go, it's cool. She'll still show up. It's fine. And then you start having an emotional, intimate moment in the bathroom after one awkward encounter with your daughter where your girlfriend smashes her cake. It didn't make any sense at all.
Well, this is so.
And the blown up reaction afterwards.
Oh, it's ridiculous, and it even sets it up that I wasn't clear. You know, again, I saw this movie when it came out. I saw We Are Family when it came out, and then watching it a second time, it's not clear at the very beginning that Arjun and Kajol are divorced. It looks from the start like he's having an affair on her, because it starts with him and Karina cruising along the highway in Australia and having, you know, carefree,
like a very love story moment. Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes him late to his daughter's school recital.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
He puts him in the car and says goodbye to the family. And then he goes back. And the next shot is of Karina getting out of the shower that's in this candlelit bedroom. Which, oh, I love the terminus of that, too, where she follows these candles down to a picture of his kids.
Because that was a little creepy, because the first picture was, you know, like, I think like a table set for dinner with wine or something like that.
Yeah.
The second Polaroid was, you know, like a bedroom set up, so you're like, oh, yeah, that's where this is going. And then she gets there and it's a picture of his kids, and it's like, ew, what? What's happening now?
Yeah, she's like, she's all prepping for sexy time. And then there's his kids, and he's like, I want to introduce you.
This is what I want from you now. Three more. Oh, God. Yeah, it was just really awkward. So for me, the biggest change, I mean, all these things that we're talking about, I feel can stem from really one massive change in the shift and the attitude of this movie versus in comparison to Stepmom, which is... And it's not overt. It's very subtle things. It's basically changing the situation, the divorce and the subsequent, you know, interactions between everyone involved is essentially the way that it's a very Desi South Asian mentality. It's a very cultural response. I had a conversation, recently with someone who, you know, heard the show, reached out to me, and we've just been talking. Hey, Liz. And they pointed out to me something that I've never thought of, and it's so completely true, that in situations where you've got a character struggling with a personal decision that affects, you know, family members, be it, you know, marrying the wrong guy while they love someone else, you know, things like that, right? In Hollywood, the climax is always, you know, a situation where the lead character goes, you know what, yeah, I am marrying for the wrong reasons, but whereas I love this other person or whatever, I don't care about the consequences, I don't care who gets hurt, my family, blah, 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 I have to pursue my own happiness. And at the end of the movie, there's like this huge reunion, and the people that are supposed to get together regardless of whatever consequences stem from that. Mm-hmm. Whereas in Bollywood, it's the complete opposite. The lead character who's either marrying someone they don't love, or they love somebody else, or, you know, they always have to make a self-sacrifice. They have to say, no, I will forego my happiness for the benefit of my family or this other thing that's happening, until the climax where someone else will have to come and free them of this obligation. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest example would be Kuch Kuch Hota Hai, where Kajol and Shah Rukh love each other and they can't hook up because, you know, no, it's I've committed to Salman and Salman has muscles. and it's not until Salman himself somehow, you know, has to intuit everything that's happening that we've been watching for 2 hours and then decide to be okay with it in 5 minutes, you know? And again, if you compare that model to any other movie with similar situation, it's always the case. In Indian movies, they're always self-sacrificing until the dad or the mom or the person mm-hmm. they're getting married to has to come and say, no, follow your dreams, you know, live your life, Simran, you know?
Yeah.
Something like that, which happens in this movie. In We Are Family, the biggest, where things start getting drastically different is the second that Kajol tells Arjun that, hey, I have cancer. Mm-hmm. And his immediate reaction is, okay, I'm going to leave my girlfriend. I'm going to move back with you and the kids. And it's like, wait, what? And at first I'm like, oh, to help out? Okay, I kind of get it. But then the next scene is him breaking up with Karina, which I didn't understand at all.
It's because Kajol also like says, oh, don't tell her. Like, and why is Kajol okay with him totally sacrificing his happiness? Right. I think that's there's a weird feeling in this too, where I think Kajol wants him back.
She's looking at their wedding picture and he's like, it's okay, don't put it away. And then and it's just like, what is happening? And it's just, at the end of the day, I feel bad for Kareena Kapoor's character. Because mm-hmm. she's completely sidelined. First of all, she's portrayed as this immature little bitch mm-hmm. Where, you know, she has valid points. She's always on the defensive. She's always the one apologizing. She's always the one, you know, she gets broken up with and she's like, no, please, I'll do better. And then Kajol, at some point in the movie, made no sense to me. I guess because she realizes that I need someone to feed my kids when I die. So I'm going to train a live-in nanny, basically. She goes up to Karina and suggests that she move in to live with her, her ex-husband, and her kids in their house.
And not that she is moving in as Arjun's girlfriend. Karina has to sleep in the guest room.
Yeah.
They don't have any physical contact. Unlike, you know, the midpoint stepmom is just when Susan is about to tell Ed Harris that she's sick. He says, wait, first I got to tell you, I need your blessing. I'm going to marry Julia Roberts. And there's no engagement in this at all. It's kind of like, all right, everything is on hold until Kajol's dead, because it's always this assumption that even though they are technically legally divorced, he's still her husband. She still has some claim on him. And it's sort of like this idea that, you know, your family is whoever it is lives in the same house as you.
And that's the thing. And that's what I find to be like a huge kind of, you know, I don't want to say Indianization because that's unfair, but, you know, like this whole brown cultural thing, because honestly, I see that happening. You know, I see if a family member gets sick, regardless of how awkward things are in our family, in our culture. Yeah. When someone gets terminally sick, you kind of forget all, you know, enmities or you know, issues you might have with this person. Everyone kind of comes together, solidarity, whatever. But in this situation, it's just a little weird.
Because the way it happens is that, so Karina is watching the kids at one point. She loses the little girl. And that's when Kajol is like, no way, I'm calling the lawyer. She's never allowed to be with my kids. To which point Arjun says, well, you're probably right. And which sucks because he doesn't have
You won't understand,
backup.
Karina.
Yeah. So he goes to Karina and he says, no, don't worry. It would just be confusing anyway if the two of you are trying to parent. Let's just leave that to Kajol. Which then immediately is followed by Kajol saying, hey, I've got cancer. And he says, okay, I'm moving back in and I'm breaking up with Karina. Because that's not confusing at all to the kids.
Right.
Come on. They have this big, like, water fight. And the kids are like, this is so great that you guys are getting back together. And Kajol's like, wait. Don't misunderstand. It's just because I'm dying.
What are you, stupid? Why? What would you ever think that for?
Whoa, sorry, kids, just because your dad's living here.
And again, I keep coming back to it. I just feel like, and I'm using completely my personal experiences. I'm not saying that this is in a generalization. But in my own personal experience, I've seen this. You know, you hear about a horrible married relationship. And the generic reaction older South Asian people have is, oh, they got divorced. That's so sad. They should probably get back together. And it's like, no, but the relationship was horrible. These people should not have been. Yeah, but, oh. And it's like, wait, you don't, like, so it's like quality of the relationship makes no difference to you. It's just the institution of marriage that has to. And that's what I got from this movie. Because even Karina's character, I felt, was always kind of looked upon in a negative way in this whole movie. Like, she was like the other woman. You know, she didn't, because even Arjun, he's like, you know what, you probably shouldn't hang out with my kids anymore. Yeah. And when a character says that, I'm thinking, then why are we watching this movie? Like, yeah, what is this movie about then? Like, if the conflict. Like, are we just watching a story where you have an ex-wife and you get along with her and you get along with your kids? Like, you're literally removing the whole conflict and the premise of the movie, and somehow we're supposed to continue watching?
And that the whole moving in deal doesn't happen unless Karina happens to show up at the house saying, I promise to give something to the little girl. I like to fulfill my promises. And it's that, it's then when... Kajol's like, oh, this is, you know, I guess you're not so bad. By the way, can you move in with me and help take care of my kids while I die?
The next scene is you see these montages of her waking the kids up, getting breakfast ready. And it's like, you wanted a maid.
Yeah.
Like, that is really what Karina's purpose here is. You wanted a maid.
This is overall kind of a weird choice for a Bollywood remake, just because of the stigma against divorce. I mean, is that part of the reason why it was set in Australia in the first place? That, like, this couldn't happen in India. It's only in the West where people get divorced. I mean, am I reading too much into that?
No, I mean, again, like, when you take a look at all the other things that I kind of have a problem with in this movie, that I wouldn't, you know, have a hard time believing that, you know, that they did it like that. But it's just, I feel, if you're going to give these characters with a backstory like that, why not go into it? Like, why do you have all these weird kind of sentiments that give the contradictory idea of what is happening on screen? And again, like, I don't feel like there was ever a time where Arjun actually apologized to Karina that, hey, I'm sorry what I did to you, but my family was really important at the time. I made a mistake. What they were just kind of, we just assume that they're now back together again.
Yeah.
Because clearly he needs someone to fill the gap left by his ex-wife. And even the tone of that, Stepmom was amazing because no one actually... There was no melodrama. There was no acknowledgement. Her relationship with her kids, Susan Sarandon's character, and her relationship with the daughter mostly, was amazing. Like, their communication, you know, she found out she was dying. And then you go into a rendition of, what's the song? Where her and the two kids are just dancing to the song.
Ain't a Mountain High Enough.
Yes. And that is the scene right after finding out that she's has cancer and might die.
Yeah.
And that's the tone of that movie. Whereas in this, in We Are Family, there's this gloomy, tragic cloud over everything. Because, you know, do you think I want to die? You know, I'm just trying to hang on for a few more days for you. Like, fuck off. Like, honestly, do you really have to say that to your kids? That, hey, I don't want to die, but I'm trying to hang out for you guys. You know, can you tell me some stuff? Like, shut up.
It's much more living in the moment in Stepmom, and this is all like, and We Are Family is just so, you know, again, it's Bollywood. It's, of course, it's going to be like over the top. It's just so melodramatic and it doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel authentic too, because I think there's a big change in the way that the eldest daughter is written. And I think she's, you know, she's really interesting in Stepmom, and it's this acknowledgement of what being a preteen or a young teen is. You know, I can't speak to what the experience is practically in India, but there's this idea, you know, that where one of the big, where Julia Roberts' character really makes some headway with and wins over the daughter, is that the daughter's having problems. She had her little boyfriend. Like, all they did was, I think, a peck on the lips.
Right.
Like, this is not a serious thing. There's nothing to be concerned about. You know, this is not lock her up or anything like that. This is just, you know, preteen exploration.
We have to find her a good boy from a better household.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, and she has, there's, then the boy, they break up. The boy's calling her names, you know, calling her a virgin and all that, which, of course, she is. She's, like, 11.
She's getting teased, and, yeah.
She's getting teased, and Julia sets up this whole thing where she gets, like, one of the models she knows from her photo shoots to pretend to be this girl's high school boyfriend, and it totally shows up, the ex-boyfriend. And so that's when the daughter is like, oh, you're the best. And Susan is pissed because she's like, no, I told her to just ignore it. You know, just ignore him and it'll go away, which is not, of course, the way that things work in middle school. But that's the, you know, the real conflict again of parenting. Who am I steering my kid to grow up,
right,
you know, to be? The eldest daughter in Wheatley family, there's this sort of ridiculous scene. Instead of the whole boyfriend thing, because we can't acknowledge
the...
Oh,
the party,
you know,
thing, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a party, and this is when... this is also, like, I think it's that Karina shows up to drop off the gift for the youngest daughter. The eldest daughter is missing. Because, again, this is what happens. I don't know. My chip on my shoulder, my Bollywood chip on the shoulder, is, again, you know, the West is always corrupt and all that. And so the, yep, 13, the daughter goes to a party with boys and beer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. You know, scandal, scandal. And so the girl, and so they, so this is when Karina and Kajol first work together. They go to find the party and they get her out of there. But even that is, like, it's not authentic. It's like this setup of this idea of what a rebellious young teenager would do. Because then shortly thereafter, the girl is like, I think they're at home, and Kajol's like, hey, guess what, kids? We're going to watch Stuart Little on a school night. She's like, awesome! No 13-year-old like, Mom, you are the greatest. I'm Stuart Little, and it's a Tuesday. I can't believe you.
That's awesome. Yeah, see, so I'm going to get back on my soapbox for a second. And that whole party thing to me just seemed like another continuation of the demonization of, like, the Western influences on this family. Because what a cliche that the kid from the broken family goes to a party, drinks, and hooks up with boys.
Yeah.
Like that is the most progressive thing you could find to give this character something, an inner conflict to deal with.
Hooking with up with boys, by the way, is the... He, like, touches the side of her butt.
Yeah, right. They're dancing. They're dancing. There's this whole, like, sort of unspoken... It's very subtle, but I get, like, this perspective from this movie that kind of says that, okay, divorce is bad.
Mm-hmm.
Any relationship you have after your divorce while your wife is alive is bad.
Yes.
And think of the children. Won't someone think of the children? And it's just, it's these kind of obviously stereotypical things. From a brown perspective, I'm looking at what happens in We Are Family, and I'm like, yeah, this is what it would probably happen. And it's just as stupid if it happened in real life as they're portraying in the movie.
Well, which just goes back to, well, then why are you remaking this movie?
Like, right.
It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't translate. If you're not going to be okay with the idea that people can get divorced, it doesn't make them bad people, and it doesn't make them bad parents, and their kids are not destined to be, I don't know, whatever.
Horrible. Drunken whores.
Yeah exactly. And, you know, that if you can't do that, then why are you even doing this?
Exactly. What I always love about these shows is We Are Family on its own is a very mediocre movie. It's not outwardly offensive. It's not outwardly horrible. But when you compare it to the thing that it was supposed to be made from, it makes the movie look horrible. Because it's like you had these gimmies. You had these great built-in concepts and ideas and discussion points that you could pick and choose from for your movie and relate it to the context of your cultural setting, which, again, half of them, you know, some of them we just brought up in this conversation. But you fail to not only do that, but you missed the point entirely of the thing you're trying to adapt.
Exactly. It's a real disappointment.
Sigh. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us. This was another enlightening conversation. Always love to get your perspectives. Why don't you let people know where they can get a hold of you?
You can find me at accessbollywood.com, and I'm on Twitter at Kathy F. Gibson.
So that is it for episode 11 of the Split Screen Podcast, featuring Kathy Gibson from accessbollywood.com. If you need more and you cannot get enough of this, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or your preferred podcasting app. Visit the website at www.blankpagebeatdown.com and listen to the show directly on your browser. Subscribe to that website itself with your email in the top corner for all my random rants and reviews of Bollywood and Hollywood movies and television. Follow the podcast on Twitter at splitscreen_pod. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/blankpagebeatdown. And until we see each other next time, for all the writers out there, keep on beating down that blank page.